weren't here this morning, you'll enjoy his preaching. We had a good preaching service Friday night and then this morning, and we look forward to it again tonight. And open your hearts. Let the Lord speak to you through his word, through the preacher. And God bless you. Thank you, Brother Steve.
And thank you so much, Pastor. Take your Bible tonight and turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 27 in your Bibles this evening. Genesis chapter number 27 in your Bibles tonight. And we'll begin reading from Genesis chapter number 27 in your Bibles this evening. And verse number 30. Genesis chapter number 27 in your Bibles tonight. And verse number 30. I got done preaching this morning and I realized that I definitely am a dad because I found my kid's spider in my jacket this morning. I thought, man, it's better than having, you know, old candy stuck in there somewhere. So I was reminded of that. Thank the Lord for my family. Pray for them if you would, as they're still back at home. They're waiting test results. Long and short of it is my wife has a kidney infection, and a normal kidney infection, no big deal. If you're not pregnant, they give you a medicine and boom, it kicks you out, kicks it right out of the system. But because she's pregnant, they've gotta do different things, and so she's hooked up to an IV, and they have a PICC line in, and so she's on that meds until tomorrow, and they should take some tests and figure out if she's back good to go or not. So pray for my wife if you would, if you think about it, that God would give her the strength and that she would she'd be healed and get back on the road. And that's what our prayer is. But, of course, the Lord knows what's best for her and for our family. So we appreciate your prayers. But I did talk to her this afternoon, and she does send her greetings. Genesis chapter number 27 in your Bibles this evening, verse number 30. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting, and he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son Esau, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy son came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. Father, I pray that you move in our hearts tonight. Your word says that we are to look diligently, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. As we look at Esau tonight and his bitterness, Father, I pray that the Holy Ghost of God would examine my heart, the heart of these my friends that have come to hear the Bible preached tonight. Father, if there's a root, if there's bitterness in our heart that needs to be dealt with, instead of carrying the bitterness out tonight, Father, I pray that we would be willing to come, be willing to do business with you, and leave a different, forgiven person. Father, we need your help tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You read the book of Genesis, and man, you talk about some families that had some messed up families. Jacob and Esau had a weird and a messed up family. I think about there, Isaac was a man that was getting up there in years. Abraham was getting ready to pass off the scene. And Abraham called his servant and said, Listen, my son needs to get married. Now, I don't know about you, but man, I think about Isaac's age, man. It's like, hey, let's get with the game, man. You've got to figure out what you're going to do with your life. Man, he still hadn't found a wife. And so Abraham said to his servant, You go and you find Isaac a wife. And there that servant went, he found Isaac a wife. And we know the story how Isaac was out there in the field and Rebekah came in and they tied the knot and they were married. Yet Isaac was a man, though mentioned in the book of Hebrews as a man of faith, he was a man that had many relapses in his walk with the Savior. There were many times in his relationship with Christ where he would go back and instead of going forward for God, he would again slip back and follow the things of this world and the things that would pass away. And boy, you read about the life of Isaac and Rebekah. And boy, Rebekah found out one day she's having twins. And boy, this is an exciting thing. Yet understand there was favoritism in the home. The Bible says Isaac, Jacob and Esau were born. Jacob was the youngest. Esau was the eldest. And Esau, the Bible says, was a very hairy man. And man, there Esau was a man that loved to hunt. He was a man that loved to be out in the field. If we could say today, he would have been a guy that would have been on the hunting channel, the outdoorsman channel. He was one of these guys that would rather stand in a tree or stay in a tree stand and for all day and wait for Bambi to come by than to do something productive with his life. And man, there Esau is out in the field. He knew how to cook his venison stew, and a man, just a guy that loved to be out in the fresh air. However, Jacob was a completely different person. The Bible says that Jacob was a fair man, that Jacob would rather stay close to mama. He was probably, we could say today, the businessman. He was the one that would make the deals and would come up with the different business strategies for a successful company. And maybe he was a man that just stayed with mom and close to mom. And the Bible says that Esau and Jacob were two completely different individuals. Hey, one loved the outside, the other wanted to stay inside. Hey, one knew how to cook, the other had his mama cook for him. Hey, one was his daddy's favorite, Jacob was his mama's favorite. And boy, there was strife in the home, there were problems in the home. And the Bible says here in Genesis chapter number 27 that Isaac calls for his son Esau. His eldest son Esau says to Esau, he said, "Listen, Esau, I want you to go in the woods and I want you to look for Bambi. I want you to shoot Bambi and I want you to take Bambi and I want you to make that wonderful stew that you make. And I want you to come and feed me that stew. And when you're done feeding me, then I will bless you and you will have that place of prominence in our home and in that family heritage, in that family lineage." You understand, God had told Rebekah and Isaac that the younger would rule over the elder, and that Jacob was the one that was going to be the one that had the blessing. You'd understand, Isaac tried to circumvent the will of God and tried to go around the plan of God for his family. And so what happened? He said to his son, "Hey, you go out and you get that meat, you bring it in, and I'm going to bless you." However, Rebekah, loving Jacob and being favored having that favoritism toward him, Jacob said to her son Jacob, "Listen, you go and you kill these calves and you bring these goats to me and I'll make your dad that stew. And then you put on your brother's clothes and you put on your brother's weird smelling deodorants and you put some of that hair that he had from that goat on you and you go in and deceive your father and get the blessing from your father." And we know the story there. Jacob gets that stew for mama. He goes in before his dad Isaac and says, "Dad, would you bless me?" Isaac says to Jacob, "You sound like Jacob, but man, the way you smell in your clothes, it smells like Esau." And Jacob said, "I'm your oldest son Esau, bless me." And there on that day, Isaac blessed Jacob, not realizing that he had been deceived by his own son. The Bible says here in Genesis chapter number 27 and verse number 30, as soon as Jacob had gone out of the presence of Isaac, Esau, his brother, has come and he's brought that food to bring to his dad. And he looks at his dad and he says, "Dad, here's the food that I brought. Here's the venison stew that you requested. Hey man, sit up, eat the stew. Let's get on with this and let's have that blessing put upon me. Let's have that special privilege of being the leader of our home, being the one where the Messiah comes in my heritage. Hey dad, sit up and would you bless me after you eat this food?" And the Bible says after realizing what was going on, after realizing that he had been betrayed by his brother Jacob, that Esau, instead of responding correctly to this disappointment, instead got bitter against his brother, and he got bitter against Almighty God. You know, I'm afraid what's going on in our churches, in our homes, in individual lives. There are many of God's people that know the will and the word of God for their life. They know what God expects of them, and yet they are allowing the root of bitterness to destroy and wreck their life. And let me say, dear friend, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." It says in Hebrews 12 that we ought to look diligently, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know that how that afterward he would have inherited the blessing, but was rejected, for he found no place of repentance. And you understand, God expects you and God expects me to search our hearts and to see if there's any root to bitterness. Why? Because bitterness will destroy and wreck your life. Bitterness will ruin and destroy your home. Bitterness will rip this church right apart. Understand, bitterness will allow a Christian, instead of going forward for Christ, to go backwards and to turn their back on the will and the word of God for their life. And here was a man by the name of Esau, had a wonderful grandpa, had walked with God and stepped out by faith. And yes, he had a dad who was mentioned in Hebrews chapter number 11, yet Esau was was a man that threw his life away and went away from God. Why? Because the root of bitterness destroyed this man's life. Can I ask you this evening, dear friend? Are you going to let bitterness ruin your life? Are you going to let bitterness wreck and destroy your home? Are you going to let bitterness get in your soul and ruin and wreck the plan of God for your life? Would you notice, first of all, in the life of Esau, would you notice his disappointment? As there the Bible says in verse number 30, verse number 31, and he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn son, Esau. I think about there on that day, I think first of all about Esau's disappointment. You understand, Esau did not do anything wrong to deserve Jacob coming and stealing the blessing from him. You understand, there was nothing that Esau did that deserved the treatment that he got from his brother. Yet what happened? Here Esau, obedient to his father's command, willing to go out in that field and hunt for that meat to make that savory venison for his dad. What happened? He did what his father asked of him to do, and all of a sudden some disappointment crept up into his life. His own brother came and stole from him. His brother stole the blessing that he felt he deserved. His brother stole what his father said was his. And boy, I think about the disappointment of Esau. Can I ask you, dear friend, this evening, what disappointments are in your life that are wrecking and ruining your life? I think about when I was growing up, I think about a friend of mine by the name of Cliff Jenkins. Cliff was 23 years old, serving the Lord as a Christian school teacher. Went to the doctor, Cliff, and Cliff found out, man, you've got cancer. He said, the doctor said, Cliff, your cancer is going to kill you. He said, there's no hope. You're going to die. Man, I saw a man by the name of Cliff Jenkins that instead of getting bitter against God, instead of getting angry against God at his situation and saying, God, here I am 23 years old and I've got terminal cancer, I'm going to die. I saw a man that realized, hey, this is God's plan for my life. And he turned a disappointment into a blessing, and God used Cliff to go and preach in churches and all over New Hampshire and Massachusetts and share his testimony about how good God had been to him. You know, Cliff had a decision to make there at the doctor's office. Either I'm going to get bitter against God, either I'm going to turn my back against God because of a disappointing situation, or I'm going to trust God and realize that God Almighty is in control. You say, preacher, well, you don't understand. Hey, God's let me down. Man, there's been certain things in my life, certain plans that I've had for my life, and God just hasn't come through the way I had him, I wanted him to. Hey, God didn't do what my plan for my life was. Understand, dear friend, God's way is the perfect way. And though it may be cancer, I think about another friend of mine by the name of Mr. Elliott. We were 7th grade playing basketball with him. And then I remember Wednesday night service, he got done playing basketball, he's all sweaty, goes inside. I remember we're out playing games in the parking lot with the teenagers, and all of a sudden the ambulance show up. And there Mr. Elliott went and sat down in that Wednesday night church service, had a massive heart attack, and died in that pew. And I saw his son and his daughters. I saw as they had to face that struggle of a 40-year-old man passing away and going to eternity, having to decide, are we going to get mad at God and bitter against God because he took our home to glory? Are we going to hate God and turn away from God? Or are we going to take our father's death and use it for God's glory and for his honor? Oh, I've met teenagers and young people and dads and moms and grandparents that have allowed disappointing situations where they felt like God did not work according to their plan. I've seen them turn their back on God, and instead of walking with God and staying close with God, I see them get angry against God's plan, and sadly they turn away from the will of God for their life. I think about the disappointing situation for Esau. Here Esau was betrayed by his own brother. The man that should have had his back, the one that should have given him the full support, was a man that turned his back on his brother. I think about people. I think about a friend of mine, a preacher friend of mine there in North Carolina, Matt Green. And boy, I think about how Matt at an early age had to face that situation. Mom and dad, they're getting a divorce. Hey, mom and dad don't love each other anymore. They're splitting. And boy, I'm not going to see my dad like I like to see him. He's not going to be able to grow up and go to my ball games because dad's moving out of town with a new girl. Hey, dad's not going to be there to support me. And I saw in Matt's life, Matt had to face a decision. Either I'm going to get bitter against my parents, bitter against the situation, bitter against my home life, bitter against the will of God for my life, or I'm going to stay sensitive and tender to God and let God use his situation for his glory and for his honor. And though he was betrayed by a mom and dad by divorce, I saw Matt Green say, you know what, this is the plan of God for my life. And he's being used of God to preach the Word of God to see teenagers come to know the Lord as their personal Savior. I wonder, are you going to let a divorce ruin your life? Are you going to let the anger and bitterness of against the mom and dad wreck and ruin your future? I think about here Esau. What happened? Man, he was disappointed in his dad. He was disappointed in his brother. He said, "Dad, would you bless me? Is there something you could give me?" And his dad looked at his son Esau and said, "I'm sorry, Esau. Jacob stole your blessing. He stole the birthright. It all belongs to him. There's no more blessing. You are going to serve your younger brother Jacob." And they're discouraged. They're a disappointed man. Got bitter against his brother. I think about how people get mad and frustrated with their family. I think about a friend of mine growing up in elementary school. I remember hearing the news when the local papers there in New Hampshire, my mom brought it to my attention. I was a senior in high school. She said, "Did you hear about Sharon?" And she mentioned the last name. I said, "No, what happened?" My mom gave me the papers, and come to find out their dad had been arrested because of some things that he had done to his own daughters. Boy, I remember reading and following the news about the molestation and how his father pled guilty and how he is now sitting in jail. I was preaching a revival in New Hampshire a little while ago. And man, I remember this lady came in, shook my hand, and we started to talk a little bit. I asked her what her last name was, and she told me. And I asked her, I said, "Is your daughter so-and-so?" And she said, "She sure is. That's my daughter." I said, "You know," I said, "ma'am, I've always been interested. I said, I read what happened. I heard the news. I said, I understand just an awful situation took place there with your husband and their dad." I said, "Exactly what happened with your daughters?" She looked at me and she said, "Steve, you know, my two daughters were both molested by their father. But they had a decision to make. Either they were going to get bitter against God and bitter against their dad, or they're going to take that situation and use it for God's glory and for His honor." I said, "Where are they at now? What are they doing?" She said, "One is married to a youth pastor. They're serving the Lord out in California, making a difference in teenagers' lives. The girl you went to school with there, she is now serving as a missionary in Arizona to the Indian kids, trying to win them to Jesus Christ." And boy, just a big smile on a mom's face as she realized my daughter stood at that hill of decision. Either I'm going to get bitter and angry against my dad, either I'm going to get bitter and angry against the situation, or I'm going to let God work it out for His glory and for His honor. Hey, can I ask you, are you going to stay bitter against that individual that did you wrong? Are you going to stay bitter against Almighty God? I think about how people get disappointed and bitter against God, against their family. I think about how people get bitter and angry and disappointed in the authority. Man, it could be I'm preaching to somebody tonight, maybe you feel like your pastor's let you down. Maybe you feel like the authority of the Christian school has let you down. Maybe you feel like the youth group has let you down. Maybe you feel like the church has let you down. Understand, dear friends, you stand in a place where you can either get bitter against God, you can get bitter against the plan of God and the individual, or you can respond right to the disappointment in your life. And there Esau, realizing the situation, realizing the disappointment, what happened? Esau said, "Father, would you bless me?" And yet what happened? His father said, "There's no more blessings left. You're going to be a servant to your younger brother Jacob." And what happened in the life of Esau? Would you notice not only his disappointment, but notice there in verse number 34. Look there. It says, "And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, 'Bless me, even me also, O my father.'" Then down in verse number 41, it says, "And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, 'The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob.'" Not only do I see his disappointment, but second of all, I see his disposition. Because there on that day, Esau made the decision. He made the choice to allow bitterness to destroy his family. He made the decision to allow bitterness to destroy his life. And the Bible says there on that day, he cried with that bitter, angry cry. He got bitter against his brother. And boy, he said, "If there's no blessing for me, if my own dad can't even bless me, then when my dad is dead and gone and we bury him in that grave, I'm going to kill my own brother Jacob because of this disappointment, because of his thievery in my life." Oh, I've met people all over the country. They've been wrong. Sometimes they didn't even deserve it. Boy, there's been situations that have been out of their control, whether it's a death, whether it's pain that they carry because of something that happened years ago. And boy, the anger and that bitterness has destroyed and ruined their life. And the vengeance and the disposition that they carry is that of revenge against that individual. And there Esau in his heart, he said, "I'm going to destroy my brother. I'm going to kill my brother because of the crime that he committed against me." Can I ask you this evening, friend? What is your disposition toward others? What is your disposition to those that have hurt you? What is your disposition to those that have let you down and betrayed you? I wonder, are you an individual that is getting caught up in that bitterness? I wonder, do you lay in bed at night and when that person's name comes up, do you just get hateful and think evil and wicked thoughts toward them? I wonder, are you an individual that says, I can't believe they let me down. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get even with them. Boy, you see it happen over and over in families. Boy, this one did wrong to them. And boy, it seems like the reunions, they're just a bunch of fighting and clashing and not getting along. I see it in local churches where there's bitter endings and strife that goes on in the church. And boy, this person won't talk to this person because years ago this situation took place. And instead of doing the biblical thing and going to him and to him alone and getting it resolved, they allowed that bitterness and anger to creep up in their soul. And whenever that individual's name is brought up in conversation with another church member, boy, instead of talking sweet and talking about how that individual loves God and is serving God, the only thing that lady has to say is something mean and spiteful against that individual. Hey, I wonder, dear friend, the same. Him, what is your disposition toward others? Is it that anger and bitterness and vengefulness? I wonder, how is your disposition? I think about there in Genesis chapter number 37 and verse number 4, there Jacob had a son by the name of Joseph. The Bible says that Joseph was his father's favorite. By the way, Dad and Mom, let me just say this. We ought to make sure in our homes there's no favoritism. Hey, we love our kids. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter what they've done. Doesn't matter how smart or how blockheaded they may be. We love our kids and there's no favoritism. Hey, Dad doesn't treat any of the kids differently. Mom doesn't treat any of the kids differently. We all love them the same. But ma'am, there was favoritism in the life of Isaac and Rebecca. There was favoritism in the life of Jacob and his wives. And there Jacob loved his son Joseph more than his other sons. The Bible says that Jacob made for his son a coat of many colors. He gave it to his son and said, son, here you go. And what happened? The Bible says that his brothers looked at Joseph with envy and hatred. The Bible says they could not speak peaceably unto them. Why? Because they were full of anger. They were full of bitterness. Hey, why doesn't Dad love us like he loves Joseph? Hey, why does Dad treat us differently? Hey, why doesn't Dad talk to us and love on us and spend time with us like he spends with Joseph? And the Bible says the disposition of Joseph's 10 brothers was that of anger and bitterness. And what happened? They took Joseph and they beat Joseph up and they sold him into slavery because of the bitterness that wrecked and destroyed and ruined their life. And can I ask you this evening, dear friend, is that the way you treat others? Is that the way you treat that individual that has treated you wrong? Is that the way you treat your preacher? Or that Sunday school teacher or that church member? Is that the way you treat your family member with hatred and then you can't even speak peaceably to them? Understand, dear friend, the warning bells of Almighty God are sounding. He says we need to get rid of our bitterness. We need to deal biblically with our bitterness. And I'm afraid so many of God's people, year after year, month after month, week after week, day after day, would rather go to bed angry at an individual away from God instead of humbling themselves and saying, God, I need you to change my disposition. I see his disappointment. I see, second of all, his disposition. But the Bible says, goes on there in chapter number 28, as Rebekah realizes what is going on. And she calls for Jacob and said, Jacob, you better run to your Uncle Laban's house. You better get away from here because your brother, man, he's going to kill you. Jacob flees for his life. The Bible says in verse number 7, notice it says in that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan-Aram. In verse number 8, and Esau, seeing that the daughters obtained and pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had. I think about there, not only do we see his disappointment, not only his disposition that was changed from getting along with his brother to bitter and angerness, but number 3, we see his disobedience. As God Almighty, through the life of Isaac, said to Jacob, listen, you need to marry a godly woman. You need to marry a woman that's walking in the way God would have you to walk. What happened? Esau heard that his brother Jacob obeyed his father. What did Esau do? I see thirdly Esau's disobedience. As Esau had said, if this is what my dad expects from me, if this is the way he wants me to walk, if this is the path he wants my brother to take, then I am going the opposite way and I'm marrying the heathen of the land. I'm serving the gods of the land. Instead of following the word of God, I'm going to follow the things that will pass away. And what happened with this bitter man Esau? Instead of following the will of God for his life, instead he chose the path of disobedience. You know, I see that over and over and over in the lives of God's people. You understand, dear friend, somebody may have done you wrong. They may have said something to you that hurt your feelings. They may not have treated you the way you would have rather been treated. Would you stand at a point of decision tonight whether or not you're going to obey the Word of God or you're going to disobey the Word of God? Either you're going to say, you know what, I'm going to obey the Father God's plan and what God says I'm going to be obedient to, and when God says I need to forgive, I'm going to forgive and move on, or I'm going to stay bitter and out of the will of God. And you, friend, have a choice to make. Either you're going to continue to disobey or you're going to follow the will of God for your life. I think about colleges. I think about when I went to school. I think about some of the students that, man, things weren't done the way they thought they should have been done. Man, people got demerits and they got suspended and they got kicked out because they broke a rule. And man, I've seen it over and over and talked to them over and over all throughout the country, whether it's the school I went to, whether it's another college. And boy, they come to me with that hurt feelings and they say, Brother Steve, they didn't treat it right. They didn't treat the situation right. And man, I looked at them and I said, listen, you can either get bitter against the college or you can say, I'm going to be obedient to the Word of God. I'm going to get bitter against the authority God gave me, or I'm going to get right with God and forgive them and move on. Understand, it may be a spouse that has said something to you. It may have been a situation that took place that was out of your control. Hey, you have a choice to either hold and harbor that bitterness, or you have a choice to get right with Almighty God. I see in his disobedience, I see all of a sudden Esau made the choice to live a life of rebellion. Instead of being obedient to God, instead what happened, he went and wrecked and ruined his life. And I see it in churches all over the country. And there used to be a deacon. There used to be a Sunday school teacher. There used to be a choir member. There used to be a faithful member that would stand up and be faithful to the Savior. Yet a situation took place in their life, in their church, and they got bitter against God. And what's happened now? The pendulum swing. They're way out of the will of God, doing the things that are contrary to God's Word. Why? Because when confronted with their sin, when confronted with the choice of what to do with their bitterness, they chose the path of disobedience. I was watching about a year and a half ago. You may have seen the 2020 special on the Independent Fundamental Baptist Movement. It was a lot of people watching, but it was interesting to watch. I grew up there in New Hampshire where that main story took place. Boy, it was interesting to watch the people that were interviewed. I knew some of those people there that were interviewed. And boy, to watch those teenagers that now had become adults in their late 20s to early 30s that had grown bitter against church, had grown bitter against the situation, grown bitter against God. And you see their lives where they're at now. I've known some of them and I've talked to some of them. What are they doing? They're not faithful to God. They're not serving God. No, whenever church is brought up, they get angry. I wonder tonight, friend, are you going to be disobedient to God's plan for your life? I see his disappointment. I see his disposition. He got bitter and angry. I see, thirdly, his disobedience. But, man, I think about, lastly, our delivery. Because you say, Brother Steve, I realize that if I live the life of bitterness, if I allow bitterness to ruin and wreck and destroy my life, realize it's going to be an awful end like it was for the life of Esau. What is our delivery? What's the deliverance for you and for me? Think about, first of all, how ultimately we've got to get the blessing from Almighty God. We go over to Genesis chapter number 32 and verse number 26. Here's a man by the name of Jacob that for 20 years has had the blessing. For 20 years he's had his father's hand, a blessing, and the birthright upon his life. Yet Jacob for 20 years has been running out of the will of God. The Bible says there in verse number 26 of chapter number 32, and he said, talking about the angel of the Lord, let me go for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me, talking about Jacob. Verse 27, and he said unto him, the angel, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. I think about the delivery. First of all, we need to get the blessing from Almighty God. You realize Jacob had the blessing from his dad, but he didn't have the blessing of Almighty God upon his life. You realize that Esau did not need the blessing of his dad. He needed the blessing of Almighty God. You realize, dear friend, this morning or this evening, you and I need God's blessing upon our life. Hey, what happened? Jacob said, you know what? I realize there's something missing in my life. I realize the power of God is not upon my life. I realize I'm a deceiver. I realize that I've been living a life as a deceiver. And I've been, man, living this life in the flesh, and I'm done living for the flesh. And there he wrestled with the angel of God Almighty, and he wouldn't quit until God Almighty had changed his name. And can I say there's some of you, boy, you've been holding on to bitterness, you've been holding on to sin, you've been holding on to anger, you've been holding on to the things of the past, and boy, you need to get along with God and say, God, I may not understand why this happened in my life. I may not understand why you allowed this situation, but I'm no longer going to stay bitter. I'm no longer going to stay angry, but no, I'm going to wrestle with you, and I'm going to find the blessing that comes from Almighty God, a touch of God upon my life. Hey, Jacob, realize, you know what? I need to be right with Almighty God. I need to have that relationship. I need to have the blessings of God. Can I ask you tonight, friend, are you right with Almighty God? Do you have the blessing that comes from the Father? Hey, do you have the Father's approval upon your life? Has the Father put his stamp on your life with blessing because you've been obedient to his will and to his word? Boy, I see so many of God's people that say, I want my preacher to encourage me. I want my pastor to come along and put his arm around me and keep on encouraging me to go forward for the Savior. Hey, your pastor might not do that for you. But I mean, teenagers, boy, they say, I just want my dad to come alongside and say, I love you, keep on going on. And he might not do that for you, sir or ma'am. But you understand there's one person that you need the blessing from, and that is Almighty God. Well, I think about friends that I've been able to meet in the ministry, people that are serving the Savior. Well, I know folks that have come from messed up situations where, man, there's been pain and hurt and feelings and all that stuff that goes along with that. And they've come to the place where they realize, hey, my hope is not in man, but my hope and my dependence needs to be upon the Savior. My blessing needs to come from the Father, not some earthly father. I wonder, are you getting the blessing from Almighty God? Let me ask you, when's the last time you were right with God? When's the last time you humbled yourself and said, you know what, I need God to work in my life? Jacob said, you know what, there's a desperate need in my life, and that is to get the blessings from Almighty God. I think first of all, we got the blessings from God. I think second of all, is chapter number 33, there Jacob goes and he meets Esau. Well, what happens? That healing process has started. Think about how, second of all, we need to be right with people. We need to be invested in people. You understand, if bitterness is ruining your life, the person you're bitter to probably doesn't know it. Oh, there's sometimes they do, but you understand most of the time it's just something you harbor. Man, there needs to be some forgiveness in your life. It may mean you go and you humble yourself and say, you know what, I've been bitter against you. I've been angry against you, and you get right with them. It could mean you have to write a letter. It could mean you need to make a phone call or write an email and say, you know what, there's been some bitterness in my life against you and towards you. And friend, you need to humble yourself and be right with people. I think about there in the life in Hebrews chapter number 12, as the Bible says, we need to lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let her rather be healed. He said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Understand, God says we need to be right with people. Can I ask you tonight, friend, is there somebody that you're not right with? Is there somebody you're holding bitterness against? Is there somebody you're angry at? Is there somebody that you, whenever their name comes up, the only things you can think about is anger, frustration, and bitter feelings toward them? Well, I think about how we need to find favor with Almighty God. We need to be right with people. What I think about is the Bible says there in Hebrews, we need to search diligently. We need to make sure we're right with God. And when that root of bitterness springs up, we need to humble ourselves and say, God, I need you to bring about forgiveness in my life. I read the story a little while ago about two monks that were going to the market to sell their fruit, sell their grain for the day. They came to a river and they realized there was a lady on the side of the bank that was sitting there. They looked at the lady and said, ma'am, why are you sitting there? She said, I can't get to the other side of the river. The current is too strong. I need some help. The two monks said, all right, jump on our backs. We'll carry you over there. And there they walked and waded through that water to the other side of the bank, started making their way toward the market. About 2 miles away from that river, one of the second monk looked at that first monk and said, you know, he said, I just can't believe how dirty I am from carrying that lady over that river. Man, I can't believe the situation. I mean, look at how filthy I am from this lady and from what happened carrying her across the river. Kept going a little bit further. Maybe 3 miles later, the second monk looks at the first monk and says, man, I am so tired and worn out from carrying that lady. And that first monk looked at the second monk and said, you know, he said, if you want to have a little bit of, you know, you want to be able to continue the journey, he said, put the lady down. And many had to make a choice. Either I can carry the lady all the way to the market, or I can put her down. She can walk on her own. You know, I think about that situation, friend. I can either forgive, put the burden down, and move on, or I can continue to carry that burden. I can continue to hold and harbor anger and bitterness. I can simply say, you know what, I'm going to move on for the glory of God. You say, well, Brother Steve, you don't understand the situation. In closing, I was struggling with bitterness a couple months ago. Really, some things happened in my life where I just was really, really hurt. Some people had done me wrong. They had stolen from me. And boy, it was a situation very close to my heart. And boy, I remember I was talking to my wife, and I said, Bride, I said, you know, I'm just really struggling. I said, whenever their name comes up, I just feel hurt. I just feel like I just want to get up and get on the phone and tell them exactly what I think about them and give them a piece of my mind. I said, I know that's not what God wants. I know that's not the way to handle bitterness and anger. I said, I just need you to pray for me as I'm struggling with this. Remember, I was praying. I listened to preaching. And I just asked God to work in my heart and get rid of the root of bitterness. I was talking to a friend of mine. We were talking about the ministry and different things like that. We were getting ready to get off the phone, and I said, Brother Nate, I said before I hang up, I said, the Bible says that I'm to confess my faults one to another. We're to pray one for another that you may be healed. I said, can I just confess something to you and you pray with me? Well, I remember I told Brother Nate, I said, you know, I'm struggling with bitterness. I said, this person has wronged me. I said, there's pain that I'm struggling with and just need to get over. I said, would you keep me accountable and would you pray with me about this situation? Can I say, when I got off the phone with Brother Nate, it was like the burden was lifted. Because you know what? I have the choice to make. Either I could continue carrying that bitterness, or I could let God take that and use it for His glory and for His honor. Hey, friend, tonight you've got a choice to make. Are you going to continue to carry your burden and your bitterness? Or are you going to give it to Almighty God? Esau had a choice to make. There was a disappointment. His disposition was changed. His disobedience, he lived a life of rebellion. But understand, if we're going to have the deliverance of Almighty God, we need to seek the blessing that comes from God. We need to be right with people. And we need to search our souls to see if there's that root of bitterness. I wonder tonight, dear friend, what are you going to do with your bitterness? Let's pray together. Father, you've used this passage in my life these past couple of months. Lord, Esau didn't do anything to deserve the disappointment, yet it happened. His brother stole the blessing. Father, the reality is I preached to some this evening, Lord, there's been things that have taken place in their past. Hurt feelings, bitterness, situations, Father, that was not in their plan. Yet, Father, that's what took place. Father, there's been some here tonight that they're holding on to that bitterness and that anger and that grudge. And Father, tonight we need to let that go. And we need to move on and forgive, letting God Almighty have control. I pray tonight that there be victories won. Maybe one needs to go and apologize to another. Maybe one needs to write a letter or make a phone call. Maybe one just needs to come and get alone at an old-fashioned altar and find the blessings from our Father. I pray this evening victories would be won. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want to say, Brother Steve, tonight, God spoke to my heart. I've been struggling with the root of bitterness. Man, there's pain that I've been going through, and tonight God's touched my heart. He's spoken my heart. And I need to make some decisions about the message that's been preached. Preacher, would you pray for me? God spoke to my heart tonight. That's you. Would you slip your hand up? Amen. Amen. Preacher, God spoke to my heart. Good. Amen. Many hands. Many hands. Good. You can put that down. In a moment, we're going to stand and the music will be played. Friend, tonight, can I encourage you? Instead of carrying that bitterness out of here, would you get the favor and would you wrestle with God and get the delivering from that? I wonder, lastly, would there be one say, Brother Steve, I'm not saved. And I don't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm not sure if I died today, heaven would be my home. But I need to get that settled tonight. Would you pray for me, preacher? I'm not sure heaven's my home. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Anybody at all won't embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Here's my hand. Well, Father, we sure do thank you for the Word of God tonight. Father, I thank you that the Word of God shines in the deepest and darkest places of our hearts. And though sometimes we may be able to mask our anger and our bitterness towards somebody else and toward a situation, Father, I thank you that the light of your Word always brings it up. Now, Father, I pray that instead of leaving bitter, that we would leave right with you, seeking the favor from Almighty God. May there be victories won this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The music begins to play this evening. God's spoken to your heart, child of God. You need to come. Can I encourage you to come and use this old-fashioned altar and get alone with God? Would you leave your burden here at the altar? How about it? Would you step out of your pew? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God's touched your heart. You need to come tonight. Amen. Folks are coming. How about you, friend? Are you going to continue to stay bitter? Or are you going to forgive and move on? Have you been disappointed? Let down? You holding anger and bitterness, friend, tonight? Would you come? You raised your hand. You need to respond. Folks are praying tonight. How about you? Is going to play through one more verse this evening. God's touched your heart. You need to respond. Can I encourage you to come? Would you respond tonight?
Okay, thank you. You may be seated.